the first of Nicholas Brady's paranormal experiences occurred at the house on San Francisco Street, where he had lived for years. One Wednesday, and this is not the paranormal experience, when Nicholas was home listening to Beethoven's Eighth Symphony on his Magnavox phonograph. His doorbell rang and two FBI agents dropped by. "Is Mrs. Brady home?" they asked. They wore business suits and carried bulging briefcases, and Nicholas thought that they were insurance salesmen. "What do you want from her?" he demanded with hostility, and he imagined that they were trying to sell her something. The two agents exchanged glances and then presented Nicholas with an identification. Nicholas was filled with rage and terror, and he started telling the two FBI agents in a stammering voice a joke he had read in the Talk of the Town in the New Yorker about two FBI agents who were checking up on a man while interviewing neighbors. Man had listened to symphonies, and the agent asked suspiciously what language the symphonies were in. And the two agents standing on Nicholas's front porch, on hearing the garbled version of the story, did not find it funny. "That wasn't our office," one of them said. "Why don't you talk to me?" Nicholas demanded, protecting his wife, and again, the two FBI agents exchanged glances, nodded, and entered the house. Nicholas, in a state of terror, sat facing them, trying to quell his shaking. "As you know," the agent with the greater double chin explained, "it is our job to protect the liberties of American citizens from totalitarian intrusion. We never investigate legitimate political parties such as the Democratic or Republican parties, which are bona fide political parties under American law." He then began to talk about the Socialist Workers' Party, which he explained to Nicholas was not a legitimate political party, but a communist organization devoted to violent revolution at the expense of American liberties. Nicholas knew all that. He kept silent, however. "And your wife," the other agent said, "could be of use to us, since she belongs to the student corps of the SWP. In reporting who attends their meetings and what it is that is said there." Both agents looked expectantly at Nicholas. "I'll have to discuss this with Rachel," Nicholas said, "when she comes home." "Are you engaged in political activity, Mr. Brady?" The agent raised her shoulders. He had a notebook before him. Two agents sat propped up one of their briefcases between Nicholas and them, and he saw a square object in it, and he knew "No," Nicholas said truthfully. "All he did was listen to the exotic rare foreign vocal records, especially those of Tiana Lemnitz, Erna Berger, and Gerhard Pusch. Would you like to be? The agent asked. "You're familiar with the International People's Party," the greater agent said. "Have you ever considered attending the meetings of it? They hold them about a block from here on the other side of San Juan Valley. We could use someone in there at the local group meetings. Are you interested?" "We can finance you."
rest of the night working for it. In all, I found five stashes of drugs, five. One, even inside the bathroom. Instinctively, that I had taken the bait.
I was in some vague police trap.
Good, the girl said, and smiled where a hot both of them rose to leave. The boy placed a plastic package down on the office table, and he said, "Your kit. Instructions, helpful hints, models. As an author, you'll undoubtedly find this very easy, along with your statement about your friend who likely to draft a short autobiographical sketch. So, the person who's reading your statement will know a little about you, too. A sketch covering what I said, and now I was really afraid. I was really sure. There's instructions covering that as well, the girl said, and both of them left. I was alone with the red, white, and blue plastic kit. Seating myself, I opened the kit and began looking through the instruction book, which was printed on fine, glossy paper. It bore the presidential seal and the printed signature of Ferris F. Fremont. Dear American, you have been invited to write a short article on the subject you know best, yourself. It is entirely up to you what matters you consider pertinent and what you feel should be left out. However, you will be graded not only on your inclusions, but on what you omit. Perhaps you have been asked to do this by a delegation of your friends and neighbors, the friends of the American people. Or perhaps you wrote for this kit on your own initiative. Or perhaps your local police suggested it to you as a way to... I turned the instruction booklet to the pertinent notes on the preparation of a notarized statement about a friend's loyalty. Dear American, you have been invited to write a short article on a subject well known to you, a close friend. It is entirely up to you what matters you consider pertinent and what you feel should be left out. However, you will benefit your friend by the greatest inclusion. What you write about him will, of course, be kept strictly confidential, as this article is for official use only. Perhaps you have been asked to do this by a delegation of your friends and neighbors, friends of the American people. Or perhaps you wrote to this kid on your own initiative. Or perhaps your local police suggested it to you as a way
of the world.
still holds him in great respect, that Ferris Fremont was, in fact, closely tied to Soviet intrigue in the United States, backed, in fact, by Soviet interests, is an intriguing notion. The Soviets backed him. The right-wingers backed him. And finally, just about everyone else. When he took office, it was on the wave of a huge mandate. Who else could they vote for? When you consider that, in fact, Fremont was running against no one else, that the Democratic Party had been infiltrated by his people, spied on, wiretapped, reduced to shambles, it makes more sense. Ferris Fremont had the backing of the U.S. intelligence community, as they like to call himself. The ex-agents played an effective role in decimating the political landscape in a one-party system. There is always a landslide. One asked, why should such disparate groups as the Soviet Union and the U.S. intelligence community back the same man? I'm no political theoretician, but Nicholas one time had said, they both like figureheads who are corrupt so that they can govern from behind. The Soviets and the fuzz, they're all for shadow government. They always will be, because basically each one of them is a man with the gun, the pistol to the head. No one has put a pistol to Ferris Fremont's head. He was the pistol himself, pointed at our head, pointed at the people who elected him. Behind him stood all the cops in the world, the left-wing cops in Russia, the right-wing cops in the United States. Cops are cops. There are only divisions of rank into greater and lesser. The top cop is probably never seen. During the next week, the fiery pinwheels remained obscuring Nicholas's vision, but only at night. It was his nightmare. The doctor would examine him, holding that he was resembling Chorsley. Checked up on Nicholas every day, and one morning, I found him seated with several enormous what's this all about? I asked him. Nicholas had explained that he was attempting in his own way to flush the toxin out of his system. Water scientists by taking it off of them, he could rid himself of the flashing wheels of jagged color that had clogged him up when he was doing it. Are you? He had to shut the The doctor thought it might be blood pressure problems, and he also alluded to the possibility of drugs, but Nicholas wasn't on anything, and I was certain of that. Nicholas said, revelations came to me not as speculation or even as logical deductions, but as insights presented to me by sympathetic artificial intelligence operators at work at my station. This operator was making me aware of that which man had ceased to understand, his role and place in the system of things. I saw on the inner screen of my mind an inferior agency creeping over our world, combating the wisdom of God, and I saw it take over this planet with its own dreary plans and will, supplanting the benign will of God, or Valis,